Okay, it's 6:02 and we will start our city council meeting after the study session has been over. We'll start with a call of order with moment of silence and followed by the Pledge of Allegiance. Okay. Mr. Crawford, would you call the roll, please?
Certainly. We have Eric Davidson.
Here.
Purina Higgins.
Here.
Mike Hill.
Here.
Sonia Hurt.
Here.
Ryan Lopez.
Here.
Richard May.
Present.
And Mary Lou Stewart.
Here. Okay. The first item of business is a proclamation for the National Police Week.
Before I start, when I first, maybe Dennis remembers this, when I first got on to the city council about 8 or 9 years ago, we had a public hearing on one of the budgets, and a young woman stood up and spoke at the public hearing and requested in a very firm and passionate manner for our budget to include enough funding to cover the duties of the police officers, particularly in the evening. She was concerned that when her husband went out in the evening alone to a domestic violence incident, he might not come back alive. She, as a school nurse, understood how domestic situations could get out of hand. I never forgot that. She prayed that her husband would come home every night alive, and I prayed that she would get her wish. I can say that 9 or 10 years later, he is still a very active member of our police force and a wonderful person, so her prayers have been answered, and so has mine. But for some people, that has not been the case. So this week, we remember those officers who have done their duty to keep us all safe at the risk of their own safety. Whereas the Congress and President of the United States have designated May 15th as Peace Officers Memorial Day and the week in which it falls as Police Week. Whereas the International Association of Chiefs of Police has declared police officer safety and wellness a top priority, and the IACP Center for Safety of Officers and Wellness promotes the importance of individual, agency, family, and community safety and wellness awareness. And whereas the members of the police department of the city of Blaine play an essential role in safeguarding the rights and freedoms of the citizens of our community, and whereas it is important that all citizens know and understand the problems, duties, and responsibilities of their police department, and that members of our police department recognize their duty to serve the people by safeguarding life and property, by protecting them against violence or disorder, and by protecting the innocent against deception and the weak against oppression or intimidation, and whereas the men and women of the police department of the city of Blaine unceasingly provide a vital public service. Now, therefore, I, Mayor Stewart, call upon all citizens of the city of Blaine and upon all patriotic, civil, and educational organizations to observe National Police Week with appropriate ceremonies and observances in which our community may join in commemorating police officers past and present, who by their faithful and loyal devotion to their responsibilities have rendered a dedicated service to their communities and in doing so have established for themselves an enviable and enduring reputation for preserving the rights and security of all citizens. I further call upon all citizens of the City of Blaine to observe May 15th, 2024 as Peace Officers Memorial Day to honor those peace officers who, through their courageous deeds, have lost their lives or have become disabled in the performance of the duty. In witness thereof, I have hereunto set my hand this 13th day of May, 2024. Chief, would you like to name the three officers from that have fallen?
Yeah, so this is a special connection to Blaine Police Department. First off, most recently was Interim Chief Michael Knapp. He was working for Linden Police when he lost his life in the line of duty, but he was the Chief of Police for Blaine at one point. In 1978, Assistant Chief Duranzo and Reserve Officer Krenz were killed in an airplane crash. They were both Blaine police officers. There's been numerous police officers that have served and agents, federal, state, and local, that have lost their lives in Whatcom County. So thank you, Mayor, for this gesture. Appreciate it.
Hey, we did the safety blessing of the fleet, and now we are moving on to just boating in general. There are many statistics that outline how many people die needlessly by simply not wearing a life jacket. Even world-class around-the-world racers have lost their lives at sea because in a moment of carelessness, they didn't get tethered to a lifeline and weren't wearing a life jacket. So they have lost their lives. So whereas on average 700 people die each year in boating-related accidents in the United States, approximately 80% of these are fatalities caused by drowning. And whereas the vast majority of these accidents are caused by human error or poor judgment and not by the boat, equipment, or environmental factors, and whereas a significant number of boaters who lose their lives by drowning each year would be alive today had they worn their life jackets, and whereas today's life jackets are more comfortable, attractive, and than styles of years past, now be it resolved that I, Mary Lou Stewart, Mayor of the City of Blaine, Washington, hereby support the goals of the North American Safe Boating Campaign, Wear It, and the United States Power Squadrons, and proclaim the week of May 18th through May 24th, 2024, as National Safe Boating Week in the City of Blaine, Washington, and the start of the year-round effort to promote safe boating. In witness thereof, I urge all who boat to wear it and practice safe boating habits. Signed this 13th day of May, 2024. Okay, moving on to the consent agenda. Items listed below will be enacted by one motion. If separate discussion is desired on an item, that item may be removed from the consent agenda and placed on the regular agenda at the request of a council member. Approval of bills, $500,874.78. Approval of advance pay, $47,527.10. Approval of wire register, $355,037.78. Approval of payroll, $745,164.95. Approval of April 22nd, 2024 City Council Minutes. Council Member Hill be excused absence for the April 8th, 2024 City Council meeting. Authorizing City Manager to sign a contract with WS.DOT for Boblet. Construction Inspection EMR for Reichart and Eby. Washington State Military Department Public Assistance Grant Agreement for U Avenue. Instrumentation and electric maintenance and repair for Lighthouse Point Wastewater Reclamation Facility Services Agreement. Could I have a motion to accept the consent agenda?
I motion we approve the consent agenda.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. The consent agenda is approved 7-0. We'll move on to the council action items. First one is a contract with Blaine Birch Bay Park and Recreation District number 2 for scheduling activities in the pavilion. Mr. Harmon, please.
Thank you, Mayor. You've heard the background and you've heard the proposal from Birch Bay Park and Rec District. I outlined some major provisions of the proposal in the packet. The term of the agreement's for 1 year, and to be clear, it does not provide exclusive use of the pavilion to Birch Bay Park and Rec District, Blaine Birch Bay Park and Rec District, or the Senior Center. It requires any alterations of the facility to be approved by the city before they happen, and it requires the district to operate the pavilion in a safe, orderly fashion. As they mentioned, they will provide for cleaning, that type of thing. City will still maintain utilities as we do today and as we do for the Senior Center. It also outlines provisions for the Boys and Girls Club to continue using that facility heavily in the summer if the Boys and Girls Club chooses to have a summer program. This last year they did not, but we did keep that provision in the contract so we can provide that service to our families of Blaine if the club so wishes to do so. It requires the district to follow our policies that can be amended from time to time by the city manager, and it provides for a 20% revenue share of their fees back to the city. And they mentioned their vision tonight, which is increased programming in that facility. So I think could be a good way for, as Jeff mentioned, for us to set aside some funding for the flooring, for those repairs in the pavilion that we don't currently have right now. The district will repair anything under $5,000, and the city will repair anything under $5,000. And it requires the district to hold the city harmless and carry commercial liability insurance. And just lastly, I want to thank the district. As a general note, there are no other proposals on the table. And so if we don't move forward with the district, this comes back to staff, and I don't think that's a win for anybody. So I want to thank the district for their willingness to step forward and provide a revenue share and schedule activities in that building and perhaps make it even busier to serve all ages. So with that, I'd entertain any questions.
I had a question. You said this particular contract we'd be voting on right now is a 1 year?
Madam Mayor,
please.
That's correct.
Yeah, so is the reason, is this the kind of thing where every year would be a new contract going in an ongoing way, or is this 1 year at this time just because it's an introductory testing period?
Go ahead, Mr. Harmon.
1 year with automatic renewals. So it also has a term provision of 120 days. If for whatever reason we're not happy with the district service, we can provide them with 120 day notice. The contract ends and the function comes back to city staff. But for the first year, 1 year with an automatic renewal after that.
And by automatic renewal, you mean it doesn't come back to council every single year from then on?
Excuse me.
Go ahead, Mr. Harmon.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Any further questions?
Yeah, I mean, we've covered quite a bit. One thing I did want to confirm, in the event this does not pass, just wanted to confirm current staff, we do not have the capacity.
Go ahead, Mr. Harmon.
We could do it. What it means is we're not doing other things, right? And so it falls back to Sam and Naomi, and it means that HR decisions get put off, public records requests take longer, responses to council take longer, that type of thing. So I don't want to say that we can't do it, because it's certainly something that we would do. However, it comes with a price. It means we're not doing other things.
And then lastly, other than utilities, are there any other significant budget implications?
I have Mr. Harmon.
I can't think of any. There wouldn't be any known, there wouldn't be any expenses that we're not currently paying. We're paying utilities, we're paying trash service, et cetera. The only potential item would be a cost share on a sports flooring if the council chose to go down that road after receiving a proposal from the district.
I had a question. Didn't something about this floor replacement come before council sometime in the last year? This sounds awfully familiar.
Go ahead.
It did. The council approved $30,000 as a cost share to match the $30,000 from Birch Bay. What we found is that's about two-thirds of...
Oh, so it's about $100,000 to actually do it?
Yeah, and that was, again, a year or so ago. And so it just, that's where it's at as of current, where there isn't enough money in today's budget to move forward with that.
So that money remains allocated, and just as other money becomes available, it'll actually happen?
Go ahead.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
I had the impression that at one point, Parks and Rec offered to pay for the entire floor. That's not correct?
That is news to me. Since I've been with the city, we have always had a cost share on that flooring in our capital improvement plan.
So they're going to get use of the facility if we approve it, but there won't be any new floor for any of the things that they say they want to do.
Go ahead.
Madam Mayor. Well, I would say that's not true. There are a number of activities from what you saw in their presentation.
I meant the ball games. Yeah. All that sort of stuff.
Madam Mayor.
Go ahead.
As I was saying, there are a number of activities that they can do on the current flooring. Some of the things like pickleball or basketball may not be able to occur as they would like them to occur, but certainly you can water paint and dance and do a number of things, as you saw in the activities that presented on the current floor.
Thank you. Ms. Higgins, Council Member Higgins, please.
We've heard from Pete with the Senior Center and had an opportunity to have him address the council. What about the Boys and Girls Club? Have they provided any input to this proposed agreement that you're aware of?
Go ahead, Mr. Harmon.
They've reached out to Sam for a copy of the contract. Their biggest concern was ensuring that they retained some sort of hours for the space, which we did in the contract. And so, to our knowledge, they're perfectly acceptable with the language that's in the contract.
Councilmember Hill.
Yeah. How far away, how much more do we need to get the floor?
Mr. Harmon.
At a best guess, the flooring somewhere around 100 and a quarter to 150. That's based on what Gary got for just off-the-cuff proposals last year. And so we could probably agree that that went up by 5 to 10% this year. Somewhere in that ballpark is what a new athletic floor, and I want to be careful what I say, that is for a wood floor, right? There are other types of athletic floors, poured rubber and things, but that was for a wood floor.
And how much do we have?
Madam Mayor.
Go ahead.
30 between the city and 30 between the district right now, although the district did allude that they would be willing to rethink that amount of money if we were to have a successful contract outcome tonight.
Thank you.
Any other further comments?
So how are we going to get the rest of the money? Are you going to wait till next budget year and propose it in the budget, or do you have some other ideas about how we might approach this?
Sure. Go ahead.
So really, that's a function of council. If the majority of council says, we want a new floor in there, my job is to go find the money today and build a new floor for you. If council says, let's wait and budget this in 25, then that's what we'll do. As of current, we have no plans to come back to council and ask you for money for a flooring. However, if Birch Bay were to come to us and say, okay, guess what? We now have the number, $70,000, and we want $50,000 from the city, that may change, and we could come to you mid-budget year and ask you for a budget amendment and move forward with a construction floor. Or you could tell us to wait until 2025. It's really your prerogative on if you would like a new floor and when it should occur.
I heard something about there'd be revenue sharing 20% of, no, but is that of like 20 people paying $3 for a Zumba class? So that's a, I mean, what have you got a rough estimate on what how much money that would be coming in from our little share of their program fees?
Go ahead, Mr.
Mayor, I think that's really a better question for our friends at the district on what their annual revenue and programming receipts would they would expect those to look like in the district, or excuse me, in Plain, and then we could work backwards from there, if you're willing to allow them to speak.
Yes, if they have the information.
Hello. So that is a very complicated question in the sense that when you look at our revenue, it takes the whole day. But in the evening time, after the boys and girls vacate, we could probably see a revenue, we're hoping to, about $30,000, $20,000 to $30,000.
Per year, you mean?
Mm-hmm. For okay. a year.
And thank you very much. And my understanding was the use of that money coming to the city was to be held for general, you referred to just general maintenance and the obvious wear and tear and things like that. So is that revenue stream something that could contribute towards hurrying up the availability of money to get this floor done?
Go ahead.
Absolutely.
Okay.
It certainly could.
Okay.
Any further questions before we vote on this?
Well, I just think we keep kicking the can down the road on this thing. And the one thing I like about it is it's not like some a lot of other things in town here that are not being used. It's being overly used, you know. And I think it'd be smart for us to start looking forward to budgeting for a floor, because if we keep kicking the can, it's 5-10% every year the way the inflation's going around here. And you know, I mean, all I ever hear is there's no place to go, nothing to do, nothing for these guys to do, this, that. And if they, you know, a lot of people in this town, you look at other cities, they got a lot more activities and stuff like that. I just think we should look forward a little and, you know, support these guys as much as we can. I don't know what the rest of you feel, but it's you know, if the kids are, the adults don't have nothing to do, they go other places. So it'd be nice if we had a great big one that everybody could, you know, it'd fulfill everybody's dreams, but we're not there right now. But I think we should look at maybe getting with these guys and figuring out what a court cost and see if we can raise some money or do something. You know, we raise money for other things and or just have the city participate a little more.
So if I could make a comment, I think let's not get over our skis. What is before us today is approving the contract between Birch Bay Park District and the scheduling. We're deciding on whether or not to let Birch Bay manage the use of the pavilion. Then when we get that settled at a future date, we can think about the floor and everything else. So let's just focus on this. This is what they've come for tonight, is to get this contract approved.
But certainly, since we've stumbled across the issue, there's a sense of council that can instruct staff here that they might come to us with a presentation to perhaps change the budget on the basis of knowing that there will be the oncoming revenue that may offset it within a year or two. And that's just an instruction that staff could...
$6,000 a month, I mean a year.
I thought I heard 30.
What's the $30,000 a year? Is that what you anticipate?
Yes, that's what we anticipate.
So our 20% of that correct. Would be $6,000. No, excuse me, $600.
With the hardwood course, though, I think you would get a lot more rental revenue
yeah.
than what the current floors are. So we would anticipate that number okay. would maybe increase.
In any case, the staff can do some homework and bring us something, because we stumbled across this matter of interest to us, and not to delay the vote, but just to make sure that we've lodged a some instruction with.
Yeah, it would be nice though if staff would do the research and find out what alternatives are. You were talking about alternative surfaces that are appropriate for ball games. If we could get that, we could see the price comparisons and then make an intelligent decision about it.
Mr. Harmon? No, okay. Yeah. So let us tonight concentrate on approving this contract or not approving the contract. So staff recommends approval of the interlocal agreement for license and operation of Blaine Pavilion. Could I have someone make a motion?
So make a motion.
And seconder, Mr. Davidson.
Thank you.
Any further discussion before we vote? Okay. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstained? Okay. Motion is passed 7-0, so the contract is approved. Okay. Now the next item, number two, is the interlocal agreement on the public health, safety, and justice facility financing. Mr. Harmon and Chief Funk, please.
Thank you, Mayor. From the children and recreational activities to the inmates. Interesting transition. So you heard the background presentation from Tyler at our last council meeting, and tonight what you have before you is the interlocal agreement. This interlocal agreement has been a long time coming, and it at least started in earnest back in 2019 when the county council passed a resolution saying, hey folks, the jail's falling apart and it needs a lot of help, including some life safety items. There's been a number of subsequent actions since that time to include an action from our own council saying that we support the efforts from the jail task force, et cetera, and backing that particular proposal. Last year, recall, in November, the citizens of Whatcom County approved the ballot measure to pass the public safety tax, which is 0.2%. So not 2 pennies, but 0.2 of a penny is the ballot measure. This proposal in front of you tonight would solidify the agreement or establish the agreement between the city of Blaine and Whatcom County for the use and funding of that jail through that public safety tax that was levied by the voters last November. Major provisions of that agreement include the term, which would expire in 2055. Of the tax coming in, the city would receive 40% of that tax. The county would receive 60% of that tax. Of our 40%, we get to keep 25% for initiatives that support or align with the ballot measure. So basically public safety, mental health, incarceration, prevention type activities. We're not certain what those revenues would look like right now. We haven't receipted them. I think they're maybe starting to trickle in. July will be the first receipt of those funds. So we will then write a check back to the county if this interlocal agreement is passed for 75% of our 40% of those funds, which then would go and fund the debt service on the county with a goal of preloading the debt service to buy down the interest costs of the new jail. If this interlocal agreement's passed, those payments would begin in July. And again, we're not certain what that revenue will look like because it's a brand new revenue stream for us. Under the agreement, the county would then build and operate a county mental health and justice facility. They're estimating the cost of that facility to be approximately $150 million as of present. And a lot of the facility would be bonded. Not certain what the terms of that bond will be. It will determine construction sequencing schedule and that type of thing. What happens if we don't approve this agreement? Well, essentially, if we don't approve this agreement, the county could then set its own terms for us or any other municipality that hasn't approved the agreement. So, for example, if we wanted to take somebody to jail, that may cost Blaine, pick the number, we don't know, $500 a night, $300 a night, we don't know, but that would be the consequence, and then we may not have equal access or likely wouldn't have equal access to the jail facility, similar to other municipalities in Whatcom County who have approved and entered into this agreement. Our contribution is capped at 75% of our receipts. So if the jail comes in and it costs $160 million to build, that issue rests with the county. Our liability, our financial contribution is capped at 75% of our sales tax receipt. If the bond service exceeds $6.6 million, then the term of our contribution may be extended per this agreement. If it is less than $6.3 million, the term may be shortened or our contribution may be lessened. The goal of this particular committee was to buy down the debt service early and then allow cities to retain more of their sales tax, this public safety sales tax, later in the funding cycle. If we enter this agreement, we receive equal access to the facility on a priority basis with other facilities. And our say in how the facility is run is somewhat limited. However, we do have a rep. The Small Cities Mayors appoints a rep to the committee that will help decide how this jail is ran and operated and funded. And so we have a voice through our representative, who is currently Scott Cortice, Mayor Cortice in Linden, on how the facility will operate, essentially. And then lastly, if booking restrictions are implemented, we will receive priority access to non-participants for jail use over, again, municipalities that didn't participate in this agreement. So Peter's reviewed this agreement. I shared those with counsel, their attorney-client privilege. We're at a point where this agreement, I think, could it be different? It certainly could. But Bellingham, Linden, I believe Ferndale, they've all agreed in principle, and in fact, many have passed the agreement. It's at a point where it's about as good as it's going to get for us. If we like it, we can enter as a local agreement. If we don't like it, we can run the risk of entering into a different partnership or looking at the nightly rates for booking. So with that, I turn it over to council. Happy to ask any questions you have about the agreement.
Questions? No? Go ahead.
Maybe into the weeds a little bit here, but so you said Bellingham, Ferndale, Linden have signed off on this. The other smaller municipalities, are they in support of this? Do we anticipate that they're going to go forward with this?
Go ahead, Mr. Armour.
Our understanding from conversations based on their highest elected official is that their communities support these. I couldn't give you tonight a laundry list of every community
sure.
that has officially approved it, but from our understanding is that every municipality in Whatcom County is on board with this agreement. I believe Ferndale and Linden have both passed it. I think Bellingham has passed it. I'm uncertain about Sumas and Everson.
And as far as the contribution, you said it was 0.2% of sales tax, correct? Is that?
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. And the cap is 75% of the 40% you said was that a specific number amount or was that just a percentage total?
Yeah.
So prior to this agreement or prior to the tax, customers in Blaine would pay 8.8% in sales tax. Now that tax will go up to 9%. And that additional 0.2% will come back to the city as a special tax, a public safety levy, as provided for in RCW. So that 0.2% that the state will give to Blaine, as and it'll be designated as that public safety tax, is what we then retain 40% of.
Okay.
Excuse me. We'll get 40%. We'll retain 25% of that 40. Okay. So then the rest of that goes back to the county for the debt service on the jail.
The way it's worded, it sounds like some sort of weird
shell game.
But I get what you're saying. But there is there's not a maximum amount that we can contribute. It's all based on the sales tax, correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
Our term right now is for 54 months. If the debt service payment mm-hmm. exceeds $6.6 million, the term could be extended.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If it is less than $6.3 million, then the term could be shortened or the amount could be shortened.
And we're not on a hook for a minimum amount every year. It's purely based on sales tax. So if tomorrow everybody decided they didn't want to shop in Blaine, we're not on the hook for a minimum amount for this.
That's correct.
Okay.
As long as the committee operating the jail, you know, one way or the other, they can get funding.
Sure.
Because if the committee operating the jail says, okay, Blaine isn't committing their fair share, maybe our nightly rate goes up, or maybe the nightly rate for everybody goes up.
Sure.
Right? I mean, they've got to pay the debt service one way or the other.
But individual municipalities are not on the hook for X number of dollars based on population or whatever. It's right now just based on sales tax. So.
Madam Mayor,
Mr. Harmon.
I say that yes, save Bellingham. There are special provisions in the agreement for Bellingham to fund mental health services, and so I say that, save Bellingham.
Okay, great. Thanks.
And I'll just point out that this was put to a vote by the taxpayers, so they have approved it. Any further questions on this? Could I have the city Well, budget implications, the city will receive the new sales tax revenue from the state, but will pass it through to the county per the terms of the interlocal agreement. There is no current budget implication at this time. Staff recommend approval of the interlocal agreement. So could I have a motion to approve the agreement?
Second.
Are there any further questions or discussions? All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? The agreement is passed 7-0. Okay, moving on. Number three, declaring that the request to vacate the east one half of Warren Avenue abutting lot 16 through 23 inclusive, block 16, plat of Mounts' first addition to Blaine, Washington, satisfies the BMC requirements. Mr. Gandhi, please.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. DJ Venuverzen and Dan Cortez have submitted a petition to vacate half of the east of Warren Avenue. As the requirements, we did the public hearing on April 22nd because there was no major concern arose. So we are requesting to waive the second reading. We did the findings, and with the findings, we recommend council with the BMC 1216.080. They are three recommendations to the council. Pass a motion without any condition, pass a motion with the condition, or deny the request. So the conditions are very simple. Basically, there's a sewer utility in the vacation area. So we'll still keep the easement on that sewer easement. The owners will provide a property documentation confirming that the property is owned by the owner, as well as provide the insurance and any proof of documentation that the city clerk will require. And it will be beneficial for the city too, because then we have the right of way, as well as, you know, limited liability on that one. So that's up to the council now to recommend whether to approve or deny that.
Are there any questions for Mr. Gandhi, please?
What's the total square footage of this property that they're requesting for us to vacate?
We didn't have the proper appraisal yet right now, but I didn't measure that actually. It's 40 by 40 feet by, 40 feet by 185 feet.
So the 800 square feet or somewhere along in there. Okay. Okay, that's
but the condition will be like, you know, it will be appraised as per the fair market value, and the owner has to pay the appraisal fees as well as any costs that are associated with getting the appraisal done.
And do we know roughly how much that's going to be?
No, it will come, you know, once appraisal is done.
Any further questions? The budget implications, the city will receive compensation from the petitioner at 100% of the total appraised value of the vacated right-of-way, which will be credited to the street fund. In addition, through conversion of right-of-way private property ownership, the city will receive a small amount of additional property tax revenue. The recommendation is to waive the second reading. Staff recommends that the city council declare that this vacation satisfies the BMC requirements and move that the council intends to vacate the streets identified in the attached exhibit by subsequent ordinance pending completion of the conditions as spelled out in the recommendation section of the attached staff report. Could I have a motion to approve the request to vacate?
I make a motion.
Seconder? Okay. Any further discussion before we vote? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the vacation is approved 7-0. Ordinance 24-3013 RV Parking. Mr. Harmon and Chief Funk, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Since I've been city manager in Blaine, a few issues have come through my office, from semi-trailers parking themselves and the cul-de-sacs and unable to turn around vehicles and it's blocking traffic, to tractor-trailers parking on certain roads for periods of time, and then RVs parking in a variety of places for periods of time. And so when Peter took a look at our code, and as I turned to our police department to help solve the issue, and they said, hey, we need some tools here, Peter took a look at our code and said, yeah, you are missing some tools. And so put together the following ordinance to give our police department some tools to help mitigate or lessen some of the circumstances for what we're going to call junk, abandoned, nuisance, traffic hazard, all of the above type large vehicles that may park in our city streets or on our public lots. Please know that if this ordinance passes tonight, that this is not an end-all, be-all. It's not a silver bullet, so to speak. There are a number of case laws that prevent us from doing certain things. And so, for example, if somebody identifies a particular pick, trailer, RV, semi-truck as their home, we can't tow that home, right? There are certain provisions we have to step through. So please know this gives us a tool, but it's also not a silver bullet or a magic solution where we can just take immediate action. So with that said, major changes to this ordinance include restricting parking of large vehicles. And we're careful to say this is not only RVs. This is large vehicles, semi-trucks, tractor trailers, large trailers, etc., in the Central Business District from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. It also clarifies the code to allow the Public Works Director authority to designate certain areas as no parking. So if the Public Works Director or Chief sees an area that perhaps could cause a line of sight safety issue or impedes traffic, they can designate that area as no parking. We think the authority exists in the code today, but this really clarifies it and makes the language unambiguous. It shortens the duration of a vehicle parked in any one location from 72 hours to 48 hours. We thought that was a very reasonable provision. If folks are loading their RV or their boat, or if a trailer, semi-truck comes to town, we thought 2 days was very reasonable parked in one particular spot. It prohibits large vehicles, and I want to clarify, the RFCA says any vehicle, but the ordinance says large vehicles, from parking overnight in a city-owned lot. And what we didn't want to preclude is park their vehicle in City Hall lot overnight. We don't want to penalize or target those individuals. So this is the large vehicle, semi-trucks, trailers, RVs, etc., that would be prohibited from parking overnight in a city-owned lot without permission. It then also strengthens our ability to impound vehicles that violate this law. In the ordinance, there's a few provisions. One, if they're traffic safety, if they've been cited for more than four times and it's been 45 days since they responded or paid tickets, et cetera. This is the tool that allows the police to then work through the impound process, and what we would do is partner with a tow company, because there are a number of case law and provisions around the impoundment of a vehicle, but this allows our PD to have that tool. It adds it upgrades our nuisance code to add rights of way to prohibited locations for the storage of junk vehicle, and then it just clarifies some enforcement procedures with how we tackle and enforce the law surrounding junk vehicles. Happy to answer any questions you might have. Thank you.
Are there any questions? Go ahead.
Is large vehicles defined in there?
Go ahead.
Semi-truck, truck, tractor, trailer, RV.
What size RV?
Recreation.
Go ahead.
A recreational vehicle can be any.
Go ahead. Okay, even a small one, even an 18-foot. Little RV.
Better. There are no size restrictions for RVs and RV.
I just have a question here. under number four, a new section prohibiting any vehicle from parking in any city-owned lot between the hours of 10 p.m. and 6 a.m., and you're saying that should be large vehicles.
Mayor, if you look at... I'll find it in the ordinance here, just bear with me. Peter and I discussed this, and we did not want the ordinance to say any vehicle. So it's item E above 10, so it'll be 10-12-80E, which reads, notwithstanding the above, there shall be no parking of any commercial motor truck, truck tractor, truck trailer, semi-trailer, or recreational vehicle in any city-owned parking lots between the hours of 10 p.m. and 6 a.m. Okay. That's how the actual ordinance reads. So you could park a vehicle or a normal-sized pickup or whatever you wanted in a city lot overnight.
Sorry, I just reading the summary and under number four, that's okay. So in the original ordinance, it is clarified. Thank you. Go ahead.
So assuming it's not junk and assuming it's registered, then no issues. What this pertains to is public parking lots, public rights of way, and other areas. We have a separate set of nuisance laws, and if we get too deep there, I may yield the floor to Alex, but a person couldn't just have a junk motorhome sitting in their yard. I believe it's supposed to be licensed, registered, and not junk. But separate from that, then they can have the RV in their lot for as long as they wish.
Okay, any further questions? Yes, Ms.
Wants to challenge their infraction. That would be before Blaine Municipal Court. Is that right?
Go ahead, Mr. Herman.
That's correct.
Yep. And so. Different steps that need to be considered, right?
Okay. Mayor?
Yeah.
That's correct. If somebody is unhoused and it's their home, there are different provisions. There's case law, and I couldn't give you the case off the top of my head, but basically if they're living in there, we cannot impound that vehicle. They leave the vehicle, then yes, we can impound it. But if they're living in the vehicle, we cannot.
I'd like to remark to other members of the council here that having these tools on the books, you know, like almost every city has, you can't litter, but the police are not spending their time going around writing tickets for people who are littering all the time. But it's really helpful to have such obvious laws sitting on the books so that if a circumstance comes up, they're not having to start from scratch and they have something they can use as a tool. So I appreciate this.
Okay, any further questions?
If I could add one more point, I would also say our police department is excellent at working with unhoused and various people. Our last goal, honestly, is to write them a ticket. We just soon they comply with the law, move on, help them find resources. I know on the instance of an RV in this area, our police department went above and beyond to work to help find them resources. So we prefer not to write a ticket. If we have to, we have the tool.
Okay. Recommendation. Staff recommends waiving the second reading and approving Ordinance 24-3013. Could I have a motion to?
I'll second.
Okay. Councilmember Hill and Lopez. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, that ordinance passes 7-0. Mr. Gandy, BNSF Preliminary Engineering Services Agreement.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This is just an agreement between BNSF and City. We did receive the raise grant funds, which we will be spending in a few months. So basically, in order to use services from BNSF, we have to pay them. So in case if they come on a site visit or help us in preparing any of the documentation, any reviewing documentation or design process, right, they can invoice us and we can pay them from the RAISE grant. So this is just a simple agreement between BNSF and city. And staff recommends authorizing city manager to sign the agreement on behalf of city.
Are there any questions for Mr. Gandy? Go ahead.
Just one to point out, at the very beginning of that, there's a typo. BNSF is, I think, BNSR, something like that, in the intro to that document, first paragraph.
First paragraph, the agreement contains BNSF support. Okay, yeah, BNSR Railway. Okay, yeah, I found it.
Okay, so I've had input from people who were very concerned about this because there's no limit to what they can bill us for. But we're not asking them to engineer a particular project, are we?
No.
Some big, huge project. No. You're saying these are just... some additional small areas that we meet their expertise on.
Yes.
No?
Go ahead, Mr. Harmon.
No, this agreement, so anything that happens in railroad right-of-way has to be reviewed by the railroad. So we couldn't engineer, take DOT's salmon crossing. They cannot go across a railroad and build a project without the railroad reviewing that project. This agreement says, hey, city, you want to build an overpass over our railroad? We need to review every aspect of that project to make sure it conforms with our safety standards, our regulations, et cetera. And as a result, you'll get a bill from us to review your project over our railway, is essentially what this agreement is.
Any further questions?
We have absolutely no control whatsoever about what they would charge us. Their hourly rates, or it could be... anything.
Go ahead, Mr. Armour.
Your only option in this situation is to either not build the overpass or to agree to reimburse the railroad for review of the plans.
Railroad's got a lot of power.
There, just to clarify, there are standard basic rates, like, you know, for an engineer. There are engineering standards where they cannot charge over those rates. Like, they cannot charge $1,000 for an engineer an hour. So there are rates, they basically 185, 210. That's what the basically they can charge. And for reviewing a section of a drawing, right, there are basically hours that they cannot say that, okay, we spend 3 months for two engineers to review a section of the road, right? So
is there any way possible we could put a to not exceed amount in here?
Go ahead, Mr. Herman.
We certainly could. And what we would do is, if the council, for example, wanted to limit staff's authority on the project, and let's just throw a number out, let's throw $250,000 out, we could say, okay, we've hit $250,000, we need to come back to council with the same agreement. Now, I believe that doesn't prevent anything. It may we come back to you every $250,000 or whatever number council would like to impose. But if we cannot limit the amount of money and chooses to spend their review of our project.
And so in order for the project to go forward, we're going to have to pay whatever it costs, whatever they charge us. And Mr. Gandy said that there are set things that this amount of review is normally has this number of hours, and these are the standard rates for the engineers. So we're going to be charged. They're not just making up numbers out of thin air.
Madam Mayor.
So go ahead, Mr. Harmon.
Yeah, so that's where you rely on us, right, to look at those invoices and say, okay, we're at this far in the project, and they claim they've spent 30 hours in design. That seems reasonable, and here's an invoice for $8,000 or whatever that is. That's our job, right, to monitor those, raise the flags if they occur. And also just want to point out, Burlington Northern is a financial partner on this project. They have a vested interest in seeing it happen, so I trust them, and we'll watch the invoices. But
just a small point on this. When the RAISE grant was put together, all of these costs were part of the proposal going forward to get the RAISE grant. So the RAISE grant, which is paying for this, has taken all of this into consideration.
And how much was it?
It's the RAISE grant, Mr. Herman, $9 million?
$9.5 million,
so.
That's just step one.
Okay, any further questions?
Just one. The railroad is a partner in this project, and I would think from their perspective, they would like us to not, to have an overpass so that they wouldn't have to deal with us and all the bad press of holding up traffic and ambulances and fire engines and everything. So are they planning to commit any financial resources to this?
Mr. Herman.
Yes. In fact, they have already. The grant proposal that was put in to the federal government was sponsored by Burlington Northern. And, you know, that's nothing to sneeze at. I don't know the cost, but well over six figures to pay the staff with DEA to put together a grant proposal. I would also point out, Carla made a note, tonight you did the very same thing with Boblett. WashDOT said, hey, you want to build an intersection in our right-of-way, you're going to pay us to review your plans. WashDOT told us ahead of time that's an estimate, and if it does, they charge us for anything over that.
Okay, any further questions? Karina.
Madam Mayor, I don't know off the top of my head what was in there for termination. I can tell you that Peter looked at the contract and was somewhat comfortable with it. This one did go through his office because of the amount, but I'll be happy to take a look at it.
He made a comment that it's something like he's fine with the termination clause.
I didn't see one, I'm sorry.
Okay, I can pull up the email actually.
Just as a general statement to the rest of council, would we feel more comfortable putting a two-year sunset on this and a $250,000 mark and then have to relook at it again or reapprove it again? And I'm just kind of picking numbers and dates there. So
just one concern is we're running out of time on the RAISE grant. It has a time limit. So we don't want to do anything to run over the RAISE grant and have it expire on us. I'm just saying.
Madam Mayor.
Go ahead.
I just reviewed Peter's email. Trying to be careful not to break attorney-client and yet still give you an answer. Essentially, he suggested staff work with BNSF to put together a provision early on in the contract for that. We have an understanding up front on what that number is and a hard stop when we get there.
All right, any further questions to Mr. Gandy or to Mr. Harmon? Staff recommends City Council authorize the City Manager to execute the preliminary engineering services agreement between Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railway and the City of Blaine. Could I have a motion to approve this?
Motion.
Seconder.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion is approved 7-0. Okay, finally, Mr. Wenger, we get to hear from you. Contract with Transpo Group for Task Order 2, Update Comprehensive Plan Transportation Element.
Thank you. Good evening, Council. This is a request to authorize a city manager to enter into an agreement with the Transpo Group. So this is task order 2 of an on-call contract we have with Transpo Group. Task order 2 will be updating our transportation element of our comprehensive plan. This is probably by far the most technically complicated element of our comprehensive plan. It involves the most amount of work. Looks at transportation levels of service and need over a 20-year planning horizon, as opposed to a lot of our local 6-year capital improvement plans. So there's a lot that goes into this. Transpo Group has contracted with Whatcom County, Ferndale. So there is a economy of scale savings with this contract. In addition, CDS has already negotiated with Transpo Group to do a lot of the public outreach as part of this contract. So things like hosting an open house, for example. So we've already tried to bring this cost down as much as possible. $85,000 is a lot of money, but the state has granted us $125,000 to update our comprehensive plan, so I believe a majority of this cost can be paid for out of state grant funding.
Go ahead.
Be happy to answer any questions.
Yeah, so the additional 85, that's coming from our budget?
No, so it's $85,000 total cost, but we do have $125,000 grant funding.
So the remaining 40 can we use for other portions of the comprehensive plan, or is it specifically just for transportation element?
Yes, Madam Mayor.
Go ahead.
It's for the entire comprehensive plan, so we'd use it for other portions. So we've already allocated a little bit of it.
Okay. Another thing I was kind of noticing on the end, some of the things that are not included, which includes recommendation to the transportation impact fee. And I know that we've been kind of talking about reviewing our impact fees for parks, traffic, all that. Is there any reason why we wouldn't want to include this? And if so, do we know what that additional cost would be?
Madam Mayor, yes, this is something I would very much like to do, but we did not purposefully include it in this contract because we wanted to have this kind of clean and separate, especially for we're getting reimbursement from the state. So the state won't necessarily pay for us to recalculate our transportation impact fee, but they'll help us pay to update our comprehensive plan.
Gotcha.
So we did have to separate this. This is something that I would like to work with the team here to bring back a proposal for sometime in the not too distant future.
Thank you.
What other items of study could we have had in the comprehensive plan that we didn't because we chose this? Were there other things that were knocked off the board?
We're going to do all the different elements of the comprehensive plan. So there's like basically 8 chapters, for example. We will do them all. This is essentially the transportation chapter or element, it's called in the comp plan. So we're required by the state to update all our chapters. We're going to do them all. Other things that we could have done would have been more like online surveys to the public, more robust outreach to the public. Those are things that were scaled back, so that there'll be some aspect of that. You know, community development services will be doing that mostly instead of paying Transpo to do that and driving up here to do that, for example.
So this is going to be one of your bigger dollar one of your bigger dollar studies for the comprehensive plan.
I believe it will be the biggest one.
Okay.
I had a question here. So you were mentioning some cost savings. Were you saying that this vendor is doing more than just this for us? Is this what you were talking about the savings about?
Madam Mayor.
Go ahead.
I was talking about how this vendor could potentially do more for us for a greater price.
Okay, so the other question I'm often going to ask is, did this get put out for bids from several different people, and this Transpo Group was the best of the bids?
So no, we did not go out to bid. We have an on-call contract entered in January of this year, so this will be a task order too to have them do this. We feel that they are the most qualified consultant to do it already because they're already contracted with Whatcom County, and then they're also happy to do Linden and Ferndale's as well. So the regional transportation model, they'll be
okay. So they're already boots on the ground in Whatcom. Is part of the reason why this looked, because I guess my question is, could there be some other vendor who could do an equally good job for $55,000 that has not been researched or encountered?
Madam Mayor,
go ahead.
I don't believe so. We could potentially shop this around, and we could potentially get a similar proposal. I don't believe that would be significantly less, and it might not be done with the same level of expertise. I would point out that our comprehensive plan update process. You know, we have a long ways to go and a relatively short amount of time to get there.
I can see an advantage to it because they're going to have access to all the information that they developed by doing the other cities, and those are all going to have an influence on us. So there's definitely a cost savings. We're not going to have to pay for somebody else to go back and do all that. But my concern is, Mr. Harmon, you mentioned that the electrical portion of the comprehensive plan was extremely complex and led me to believe that it would be very expensive as well. So are these two going to eat up all of the grant money?
Go ahead, Mr. Harmon.
Two separate items. Electric comp plan is a utility comp plan. This is a comprehensive land use plan.
So they're separate.
Go ahead.
They are separate.
Any further questions? Okay. Task order two is not to exceed $85,000 and would be paid as part of the approved 2024 budget for CDS professional planning services, which includes $125,000 in state grant funding for this purpose. So therefore, the recommendation, CDS recommends that the City Council authorize the City Manager to execute this task order with a not-to-exceed cost of $85,000 to update the transportation element of the City's comprehensive plan. Could I have a motion to approve the contract? Mr. Hill,
second. A second.
Yes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is passed 7-0. Commission, committee, and board reports, Public Works and Park Advisory Board meeting update. That would be Mr. Gandhi.
Okay, thank you, Madam Mayor. We presented the idea of a modern street parklet, the park design, to the park and Public Works and Park Advisory Board. So they reviewed it, they made some comment, and that's all it was actually for the Parks and Rec Board.
Any other questions? Are there any questions from anybody?
Thank you.
Okay, Planning Commission meeting update.
Yes, thank Winger. You, Madam Mayor. Our Planning Commission held a 2.5-hour public hearing, or part of that meeting was a public hearing on May 9th, last Thursday, to talk about downtown parking text amendment. The Planning Commission discussed it at great length. They closed the public hearing, so the public hearing is now closed. They, I believe, have settled on a series of recommendations that they'll be forwarding on to City Council, but they have not yet made that recommendation. So at this point, the Planning Commission did schedule a special meeting for this Wednesday, May 15th at 5:00, right here in this room. So we were having a meeting specifically for downtown parking to discuss that, and I'm anticipating a recommendation coming out of that meeting. At that point, we would forward it, the Planning Commission recommendation, on to City Council. City Council has to receive the recommendation and then set a date to review the Planning Commission's recommendation and the zoning text amendment, in this case related to parking. So you'll have to receive it at a regular meeting and then set a date to make a decision. And you'll have the option of approving it, denying it. You can also schedule another public hearing if you want to deviate from the Planning Commission's recommendation. So you have a number of options before you, but it would be a closed record hearing before council as a legislative item. So you do not need, so unless council schedules a public hearing, there will not be another opportunity to speak on this matter before the public.
This meeting on Wednesday, is it going to be open to the public to speak? I mean, it'll be open to the public, but will it be an open forum for them to speak as well?
No.
No, just.
It's open to the public, but no.
Just for the committee meeting. Okay, great. Yeah.
Any other further comments? Okay. Moving on then to department reports. First of all, City Manager, Mr. Harmon, please.
I think you've heard enough from me tonight, but I did review the BNSF contract again. Our termination provision would be essentially either the council directing me to not give them any more work or me directing staff to not give them any more work. We only pay if we give them work. It's not a lump sum or a contractual obligation or a minimum. So that would be our term. Just we stop giving them work to review. So that's all I've got tonight, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Public Works Department, Mr. Gandhi, Circuit 17 update.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Construction on Circuit 17 upgrade had started. So we actually did the contract with two phases. The phase one was the section that is overlapping the Boblich channelization corridor paving. Since that's federally funded, we didn't want to have any work that could be, you know, adjacent to the same project. So we asked the contractor to start the work before we are actually starting the paving job. Currently, they have already bored under the Boblet Street and are currently working on the wall system installation and the switch system installation. So they are progressing day by day, and we hope it could be done pretty soon.
Okay. Any questions, concerns for Mr. Gandhi on that? Okay.
Thank you.
Community Development Services, Mr. Wenger, please.
Yes, thank you, Council. So I just wanted to give a quick report on building permits. When the state required all the cities to update our energy code back in March, we received a rather large submittal of building permits. And so right now we currently have over 50 permits that we're looking to issue. So any building permit requires a certain, basically three different types of reviews. There's a building review for structural, there's a planning review for zoning, and then there's a public works stormwater review for erosion control purposes and what happens with the water permanently on the site. Right now, we are having some challenges getting these permits out, so we'll be looking to contract to handle third-party stormwater review. So I'll be working with the city managers contracts to do third-party review because we need to get these building permits out the door. We're experiencing pretty significant delays at this time that I'm getting some phone calls about, and we're looking to expedite that process and get back on track as fast as we can. So I just wanted to let council know of that challenge that we're experiencing in development services, and we're doing our best to remedy it. Have a solution in place this week, but we are operating slower than I'd like.
Questions? I have an ongoing concern that I have spoken to you about prior, Mr. Winger, and that is projects that have been waiting over 2 years. We're processing all these new building permits, but this problem from 2 years ago is still sitting there with the Semiahmoo Marina parking lot because of the planned unit development complication. You told me that was an important issue for you and you'd be looking into it. How are we going to integrate that in if you're spending the main focus on getting all of these current building permits approved? Where does it fall in the line?
Madam Mayor.
Go ahead.
So that's a high priority for us. We've spent quite a bit of time working on that and trying to figure out the best path forward. I would say a lot of that is in the applicant's court. With the legal course of action we've laid out before them to move forward in an expeditious way. So we're kind of waiting for them to engage that process. So it was really outside of the city's court, if you will.
Okay. So did that go back to the property owner or the prospective owner, the buyer with the Semiahmoo Marina? Is it in the seller's court or the buyer's court?
It is in their collective court. It is not within our court. Okay. So we, you know, I personally don't spend a lot of time working on single-family building permits. That's what the team is for. So they are, our CDS team is going to be working on our building permit review status along with Public Works. And so, you know, those other higher profile items, the one like you mentioned, I'd be working on that. But it has definitely not been in our court for 2 years. It's not accurate.
Well, I remember when the whole procedure started many years ago. So I'm confused about that. But you're saying that they approached you less than 2 years ago?
I'd be happy to talk to you outside the meeting, but you know, we're kind of entering into like a legal debate of how to move forward with this project. Okay. And I'd prefer not to do that here.
Okay, but it is being addressed.
Yes, we've outlined the legal pathway for them to move forward. Okay. We're waiting for them to engage.
Thank you.
Nothing further, Mayor.
Okay, moving on to the finance department then, Carla.
No.
Okay, how about now?
A little teeny bit.
It's on. Madam Mayor?
Go ahead.
Well, this is my first financial update. We are in the middle of the 2022-2023 state audit. They're hitting it hard and heavy. And I am working with, in the interim, I'm working with the city manager to create a template for the financial policy, financial reports, and we're hoping to get that to you at the end of June, beginning of July.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Heck of a report.
All right, we have some calendars and Just saying, May 27th, city offices are closed, Memorial Day, so the city council meeting will be on May 28th. Council unfinished business, anything anyone wants to address? Council new business and or dialogue, anybody have anything to comment on? Written public comment, as usual, is included on the city's website, so if there are no further business, I will declare the meeting adjourned at 7:18.